is Ryan Miller, and for the past 15 years, I've helped hundreds of people to raise millions of dollars for their funds and for their startups. If you're serious about raising money, launching your business, or taking your life to the next level, this show will give you the answers so that you too can enjoy your pursuit of making billions. Let's get into it. In this week's episode, I bring on my dear friend, Janann Glasgow George. Janann is the founder and CEO of NeoIP and PatentForecast.com. Join Janann and me as we discuss how her technology gives private market investors and entrepreneurs a leading indicator on changes in their market, leading to higher profits and smoother strategies. You don't want to miss it. Plus, you're going to want to listen all the way to the end where Janann opens up to me and reveals how you can use publicly available data to juice your asset valuation and exit multiples just by knowing where to look, bringing you the competitive advantages you need in your pursuit of making billions. Here we go. Hey, welcome to another episode of Making Billions. I'm your host, Ryan Miller, and today I have one of my dear friends, Janann Glasgow George. Janann Glasgow George is a U.S. patent attorney at NeoIP and the creator of a new type of forecasting tool that leverages patent data to help investors find key acquisition targets. She's been the guest presenter to the UN, as well as teaching people around the world in places such as India, UAE, Mexico, Italy, Ghana, South Africa, New York City, San Francisco, Chicago. I could keep going, but you get the idea. So what this means is Janann is a bit of a legal alchemist who understands how to leverage patent laws in order to boost exit multiples and valuations just with the power of words. Janann, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks so much, Ryan. Making Billions is such an amazing podcast series. I'm really thankful to have been invited as a guest. Appreciate it.
Yeah. And it's so good to have someone with you and that intellectual capacity and all the things that through your inventions and your different tools, you found a great way to get an angle on the market that a lot of people aren't aware about, which is patent forecasting. I mean, we're going to get into all this stuff. I won't steal your thunder. But, you know, we can, and we'll get into that. But what I think I want to know is, where did it begin for you? How did you get into this industry? And how did you come across boosting valuations and intangible assets? Where did it begin for you?
Oh my gosh. I imagine it started at a really young age. I mean, my parents really encouraged me to use my imagination and to explore and be creative. And I learned this massive value in imagination, creativity at a young age. Lego kid, you know? So yeah. If you can imagine it, you can create it. It was a good message from my parents. That led to me going into engineering. I'm probably not the first engineer who started out with Legos, right? But at NC State University, where I did my initial studies, I did NASA Mars Mission Research Center work to make 3D composites for what ultimately is now like the Perseverance rover on Mars. So kind of it was that engineering career that got me started. And when I decided to maybe shift gears and go into patent law, I took a trip to France and met an amazing, prolific inventor named Michael Godwin, who was a lift designer and had done the BBC Towers in London. And that was when I knew for sure I was going into patent law. Later, full circle, helped him get a patent on how to help people escape tall buildings after 9/11. But the path to patent law, I thought, let's try on inside the USPTO, see how it really works in the government. And it turns out I'm more entrepreneur than government worker. So I left and went into big law, tried on litigation, had some good success in that experience all the way through trial as an intern with big law. But later I thought, you know, it'd be better just not to fight about assets, keep people out of court, and learn how to create more valuable assets. So I launched my law practice, now NeoIP, in the late 90s in North Carolina, Research Triangle area, using data and strategy to develop higher quality assets, mostly working with serial entrepreneurs and investors to give higher valuations.
Wow, that is incredible. And, you know, This is an important thing in valuations, especially in private equity. It's a little more of a challenge, not impossible, but to value your company, your assets, your revenue, all of these things add up to impressive exit multiples. Now, in order to do that, valuing these intangible assets, tangible is easy, right? We call it PP&E. Tangible asset valuation is one thing. But intangible, there's tons of opportunities. You've opened my eyes to the opportunities that are available, not only in valuation, but also forecasting where the action is happening using public available data and patents. But not everybody, according to what we've talked about, not everybody understands that. And my understanding, like, help me understand. So if you're in front of a CEO and, you know, these, you've been in big corporations, helping them understand the value of intangible assets, namely your patents, you're really building that value of your current tangible assets with intangible assets. How have you found it supporting CEOs and helping them to understand it?
Sure. Well, as I mentioned, when I launched, we were focused on the entrepreneurs, and mostly then we're dealing with the CEO innovator, right? And what I learned was really hard to communicate to them about the patents without dumbing it down and making it inaccurate. And so I thought, well, let me try some software. Surely there's something. Nope, not at all. So I thought, I need to visualize this. I'm a visualizer person. So we developed our own, hired some programmers and developed our own patent matrix software to show the claims. That's the business and legal value. And then we decided, what if we could look at the way technology and science evolves? So we built software using cladistics or evolutionary biology algorithms to see just that. How patents could indicate where the research and development evolution was happening. And the visualization component, again, really important, so that now I could talk with the CEOs, show them what you have, where you stand, and where your market looks like it's going. Because you have to invest in patents before you have market activity. This was like insights nobody was looking at. Most companies, even large corporations, if it's patent, send it to legal. Just send it to legal, let the attorneys deal with it. But business value of patents, that's the true value, right? Over 80% of all companies today globally have some intellectual property assets. And if that's true, you don't want to send it to legal. You need to know what these assets are and how to value them, right? So if you're just sending it to legal, you're not getting that. So we literally started developing the software Patent Forecast so that we could communicate and have visualization with clients. And then we found out, guess what? Investors care about this too. When you're in diligence and you want to make an investment, don't you really need to know what those most valuable assets of the company are worth or not? Right, you need to solve that problem. And so that's why we developed Patent Forecast software.
Oh my goodness. So I want to highlight exactly what Janann is talking about here. For our listeners around the world, we've got all kind of entrepreneurs, investment bankers. We got a whole pot of everybody interested in the private sector. Now, what Janann's talking about, at least what I'm hearing, is saying, hey, your intangible assets, namely your patents, CEOs, what you found in the early days is saying they just see this as just a legal activity. And while that is somewhat true, really, what you're trying and you found convincing CEOs is saying this is so much more than just legal contracts. Don't just outsource it to legal department, but see this for what it really is, which is an asset. And these are business decisions. These are business assets that can be used to create value on one. Those are the ones you have. Number two is that I want to highlight is saying, actually, on top of that, you can understand what the patents are for some of your competitors or at least in your market. And understand where the market is going based on patent data. Now, is it all encompassing? Well, I don't know. But is it super helpful? Absolutely. So knowing, having a leading indicator and piece of software that exploits data that's been there the whole time, but just assembles it in the right way, allows you not only to execute on new kinds of strategies, but it also helps you to boost the value of your assets. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, think about it. Why has it taken this long to have this discovery or to employ patent data in this way? Every other asset in a company shows up on a dashboard on software that C-suite executives review and investors and funds, right? Why wouldn't you know what these most valuable assets of your company are, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And so understanding those assets, understanding the direction of your competitors' assets or the market, I'm curious. I'd love to just shift gears into let's really dive into this. So what is the, like, who is your ideal client for patentforecast.com?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
AI is changing the game of business. Will you be on the winning team? I'm Jordan Wilson, the host of the Everyday AI podcast and your coach to help you learn the X's and O's of AI. Artificial intelligence isn't just a new player in the game, it's a new sport altogether. So if you don't quickly put AI into play, your competitors will run up the score. I've spent my whole life building winning teams, from coaching basketball to working with big players like Nike and Jordan Brand. My next move? Helping you win with Everyday AI. Listen wherever you get your podcasts or on everydayaipodcast.com. Let's tap into AI together and put points on the board.
Sure. We always imagine our ideal client, current clients included, it's the C-suite executives, it's serial entrepreneurs, it's funds, venture capital. We work a lot with venture capital and private equity on diligence, and I'm really valuing that. Also, larger companies to identify M&A targets, so M&A lawyers, right, who maybe at least in diligence would want to have this, but we work a lot with the entrepreneur and the funds directly to get ahead of what's there. Let's talk about why. Why do they care about it, right? Patents are big business. Let me give you some public market info so that you kind of realize on the private side, you can really leverage this. Let's go to Apple, right? This is a Fairchild in public markets. Back in 2010 era, when we're looking at patent data on these now ubiquitous mobile smartphones with user interface by touch control, right? Apple had been investing in patents in that area and had about three times the number of patents in user interface control than anyone else. And guess what? Three times the profit. We're talking about hundreds of millions in profit per quarter, right? So it's no wonder the competitor Samsung got into big litigation about that market. The big guys care about each other, right? Well, the Apple v. Samsung litigation ended up over $1 billion in Apple's favor, right? Who wasn't there then? Let's talk about patent forecasting. Google.
Yeah.
Aren't they a huge player now in smartphone? Yes. Did they have patents? No, you can't turn back the clock. So our data told us they're going to have to buy. And guess what they did? They bought Motorola Mobility, who hadn't been investing from the early days in the user interface touch control as well. They bought Motorola Mobility for over $12.5 billion in 2012 and then sold off the operating company. What motivated that sale? The patents alone. Because if you don't have it, you didn't build it, you have to buy or license. Let's talk about Samsung for a second and their kind of big litigation, right? How much are they spending on just patent renewals, not even creating new ones? $137 million just to renew patents they have. They have over $2 billion in lifetime government fees. It's expensive. Right? It's expensive, but they want it. Let's look at Nortel. You're Canadian, right? Let's look at Nortel, right? They had such a huge portfolio in telecom. They were trying to sell it off, maybe get the most they can. They said, forget it. Too much data. We can't manage it. So they sold it off to the Rockstar Group for $4.5 billion in 2011, and then sold about 4,000 patents to RPX for almost $1 billion. This is just patent movement here, right? Kind of interesting. Let's look at Google again. Google bought Nest for $3.2 billion in cash and then sued Honeywell on patent infringement. What's motivating some of these acquisitions? Well, we used our patent forecast data a couple of years ago. We'd been monitoring Fitbit and Google and Apple not being in the data set, right? Not very much. So we were calling the Fitbit acquisition about a year before it happened. just based on patent data. So patent forecast is giving us all of this leading indicator that no one else is looking at. It's about time to change that, right?
Yes. Oh, my goodness. So look at the power of that. So not only so those activities, those acquisitions, those lawsuits, there is a lot of churn in that sector. But I think the important thing here, while that is awesome, the important thing here is Janann and her patent forecast company were able to monitor that activity through a leading indicator, right? Us, any traders out there, we love leading indicators that kind of give you a sense of where the market's shifting before it shifts. It's absolutely a gift, sweet manna from heaven. So we're able to find a lot of those data points, aggregate those in patentforecast.com, your company, you do that, and you're able to, as you said, monitor a certain sector of the market and say, something's happening here. We're seeing some big shifts, and you're able to provide that not only internally, but for other clients as well.
Right. So we're talking about big data and big dollars. Every year at the current rate of filing in the U.S., about half of the filing comes from outside. So the world is putting money into the system. It's about $10 trillion projected in new filings. That's the dollars behind it, not just government, but legal fees. Think of the R&D behind that, right? This data is a proxy for R&D investment. So you will see what's coming before it hits the market. It's kind of fun.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. This is good. This is really, really good. I hope people are really starting to sense the value of patentforecast.com, but also just outside of that, even just managing your patents, your intangible assets, there is a massive amount of strategic value, but also just straight up intrinsic value available just by getting your patents right. So as we round third base, I mean, you've been doing this a while. You're an expert in your industry. You're speaking around the world. I mean, my goodness, you've been on all places, almost all continents as well. But that might be a stretch. But you're well traveled and well spoken. So yes, exactly. So that being said, I'm more, you know, out of all that experience and travel and presenting and all of the work that you've done by inventing patentforecast.com, by running your own IP and being an engineer working on composite for space missions. I mean, you've done it all. Now, the thing that I'm curious about as we round third base is, after all of this experience, what would be some of the key takeaways that you could advise anybody from, you said, funds, entrepreneurs, CEOs are all your ideal clients. These are people who get the most value out of your product. What advice would you give if you could speak to them on a whole? What would you say, looking back, what advice would you give them based on what we've talked about so far?
Sure. And if I could drop a book here, I did just publish a book this year called The IP Miracle, How to Transform Ideas into Assets That Multiply Your Business Value. So there's some of this in there, but the one tip I would give, if I were going to give anything out now, and this is a big takeaway, is you have to research patent data before you create these assets. About 95% of all patents never make commercial impact. That $10 trillion per year I just talked about, not all make an impact. So how do you make sure you have assets that are valuable, that you're creating the most valuable assets possible in your company, or that if you're a fund or an investor, how do you make sure that these assets that are there and how you make new ones, that they're really worth anything? The answer is patentability research and analysis. Right? It's patent data. So you can do it for free. This is good news too. Google Patents is a really great place to start. Just patents.google.com. Put in your keywords or even your patent numbers. And from there, Google helps you kind of do some of this leading indicator research on your own. That's the minimum. Here's why. Three things you get from it. If you do this patentability research before you file, you get a sense of, is this likely to be a success or not? Are we going to get through the patent office and have an issued patent? So you get that question answered and de-risk it. The second thing is you create a higher quality asset. You differentiate from the prior art because that's what the examiner will do later. You might as well do your homework now and deal with it. And you'll overcome that rejection, the objections that examiners inevitably give, you'll overcome it with kind of a streamlined approach, right? So you save time, energy, and money, higher quality asset out. And third, you kind of make it bulletproof. You shield the issued patent from validity challenge. So this is a great gift I've given you that you can do for free on your own, is Google Patent or USPTO.gov. Try searching that under patents, a little, little bit more tedious. But in any case, that's the one thing you can do to improve the quality of your asset. And then from there, you know, consider patent forecast to see the context. You'd never buy a house without getting a market value, right? That's comps. Mm-hmm. It's all about data and the context. So if you're looking at where you stand today, put some data around it, context.
I love that. So so Google Patents and USPTO.gov, those are free sites that you can, if you're really looking at understanding, and you can form your own analysis, you can try, or you just use patentforecast.com is another way to just aggregate that data and get those leading indicators in your market. I mean, private equity, private analysis, it's a bit of a challenge to really find out and get a pulse of market value of assets, companies, all these things. So using patentforecast.com is certainly a valuable way to move
Thank
forward.
You.
Any comments on that?
I mean, think about what we learned from this data, from Google buying all of these companies for large numbers just for the patents or motivated by the patents. It means you can't get there second. There's no second place. You can't be there late. So with this approach, at least you're making sure you know where you stand and know what everyone else is doing. So if you have patents already, you're a company. If you have invested in companies with patents, you're a private investor, wouldn't you want to make the most of those assets? Think about it today. Don't wait until you want to sell or when you think that you're going to go for another round of funding. Those are the two worst times to find out in diligence. It's not where you thought.
Yeah, absolutely. So what would be another key takeaway that you could provide to funders, founders, CEOs? What's maybe another key spot?
Yeah. Another key spot is don't just know where you are, what you have. Most companies don't know what's in their portfolio. Even small portfolios of less than 100 assets, the C-suite doesn't know what they have, what it reads on. How do they use them? Right? What other asset would you have that you don't know how to deploy? So do that portfolio analysis, but take a look at your competition, because you might think you know what they're doing. But what we have found over these 2+ decades in using patent data is that most companies not only don't know what they have, but they have no idea what's going on in competition. We've worked with tech companies who have used this sort of comparison to go to management, go to the board, raise the budget for securing good patent assets, and encourage innovation in the team. At the beginning and end of the day, think of your team and the contracts you have with them, right? People create intellectual property assets. It's not done by AI. It's not done by a bot. It's your people. And so be sure that every one of your team members is fully engaged and contributing, and that they know this data. They know what's happening, because it will stimulate new invention, new thinking, right? To get out of bias confirmation in any company, you need a fresh look. Take a fresh look at your people, at your IP, and your competition.
Yeah, that's absolutely brilliant. So understanding your market and all these things and giving a fresh look absolutely helps, and doing that through patent analysis or other data analysis. Mm-hmm. So as we wrap things up, is there anything else that you'd like our fans around the world to know, like how to contact you, anything else at all?
Oh, sure. Thanks. You can reach out to me on LinkedIn, Janann Glasgow George. You can find me at my law firm, Neo IP. Our website is neoipassets.com or patentforecast.com. Check out this data for yourself. See what's there. You can explore it on your own, or you know what? We'll walk you through it. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, that's absolutely brilliant. So just to recap everything that Janann has mentioned, find those leading indicators. Those can really help you to navigate your field Get the data on your competitors, not only them, but their assets. Understanding that if you can get some good information and help you to navigate and pivot. And finally, just do all that you can to increase the value of your assets. You do these things, and you too will be well on your way in your pursuit of making billions. Wow, what a show. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. Now, if you haven't done so already, be sure to leave a comment and review on new ideas and guests you want me to bring on for future episodes. Plus, why don't you head over to YouTube and see extra takes while you get to know our guests even better. And make sure to come back for our next episode where we dive even deeper into the people, the process, and the perspectives of both investors and founders. Until then, my friends, stay hungry, focus on your goals, and keep grinding towards your dream of making billions.